of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Thursday night. Coming to you. Straight from space, Jeffy. We're coming from space. That's what we do with this program. We do it here. We beam it to space, and then it gets shot into your digital audio device to get put in your ears, because you're going to put me and Jeff in your ears. That's what we're into. Right, Jeffy?
Science, bro.
Science.
All science.
That's what it is, man. What up, everybody? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's a beautiful Thursday night. 10 o'clock here on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. I can't tell what the other coasts are, Jeffy. What about the... We don't have a North Coast. What will be the North Coast?
It's like a... It's like...
Oh, that
nine,
just ended really quick. What the fuck happened there? That was weird. Did you hear that?
What? What happened?
The music just ended. I forgot. I should make that longer.
I like it.
What about a South Coast? We should have a South Coast, Jeffy.
We do. It's Florida. Florida's the South Coast.
But we don't call it the South Coast.
No, we just call it Florida.
Yeah, well, we call it the weird-ass place, right?
I don't know. It's kind of like the crotch. It's like the Munda.
I guess so, man. Jeff, let me ask you a question, man. I think all of us, at some point in our lives, were pro wrestling fans. You were, right?
Oh, absolutely, dude.
I mean, I actually have gotten back into
it. Come on, brother. You know I'm a wrestling fan, brother.
Dude, I've kind of gotten back into it more, and I've always been a fan. And as you know, too, I spent some time in my life actually doing a little pro wrestling. So I'm excited tonight. One of my favorite people.
Me in a half Nelson every time we're in a hotel together.
Hey, listen, I'll hit you with the main course. It'll be over. No questions asked. Done.
Ooh,
deal.
Daddy, stop.
But we got Justin Credible going to join us in a little while tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. One of the nicest guys on the planet.
So excited.
Excited to have him on in a few minutes. But at first, Jeffy, one of our own people in our family got to headline his first event, man. He headlined and sold that shit out. How awesome is that?
Dude, Savage Wolverdan killing shit.
That's right. Our good buddy Chef Dan Monroe is on the line with us right now. Dan, dude, your event at the library. Listen, it sounds dumb to say a library, but you had a shit ton of people there.
Yo, what's up, man? Yeah, I came in with the cross-faced chicken wing. I was hooking people up, slamming people on tables. I was handling that shit.
Damn.
Oh, but then nice. I was cooking, too. Then I was just cooking, too. Yeah, it was good.
Nice.
Yo, I watched it on Instagram Live, brother. You did a fantastic job, man, out there, you know, promoting local food, promoting what you do. I mean, really, just fantastic. Tremendous job, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It was nice. The library asked if we could do something. I volunteered my time. I figured, what the hell, I could do this. So I went over there, knocked it out, just had some fun, you know, just kind of handled my business. And, you know, I just cooked, and people asking questions. I tried to help with whatever they needed. And at the end was the best, because then all the people come up to you, they kind of give you their kind of personal questions about the things that they want to do or want to try, or things that we should do or we could try. And it was cool to really touch with a lot of them customers.
And the cool part was, too, man, you were out there, you made some food. What'd you cook for everybody?
Well, I did one of the staple dishes, which was an orzo pasta salad, which we make. It's a simple dish, but we sell the shit out of it. It's fennel, radicchio, arugula, little mozzarella balls, like pearl mozzarella balls. There's a lemon vinaigrette, and it's super simple, but it has that perfect balance of, you know, a little bit of bitter, a little bit of sweet, a little bit of sour, and people love it. So I made that to show them, like, something that they are all very familiar with, and I can make it in a big batch and share with a lot of people real easily.
Wait a second, Dan. Jeff, did he say a big batch?
I think he did.
I'm just kidding. I forgot. I just saw the sound.
Was it a,
I don't want to do
was it a big batch?
Was it a big batch? I can't help it. It was either that or this one. Was it a big batch?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
All right.
You ever seen
it? Not right. We're not doing it twice. Well, Dan, here's
okay,
the thing about...
Terrific.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How big was the batch, Dan?
It was a big batch.
Okay, terrific.
Listen, here's what I thought was so great, though. It was a Tuesday night, and you had so many people come out talking about local food with you. It made me excited to see, and you know, to have you come out there. And obviously, you know, there's no, I've put you over constantly on this program as one of the best cooks I know, and Jeff will vouch for that. But really, really great job, and people were very lucky to have you go do that. Are you going to do it again?
Oh, yeah. I actually talked to somebody else there who was in attendance, and they want me to go to one of the local VA, like VFWs, and do something for them. So that's what I'm hoping to do next.
Nice, that's nice. Well, because your military background.
Yeah, yeah. That's my army background.
That's great. What about you going down to Gold's Gym or maybe Gold's Strip Club and cooking for the strippers and teaching them how to take care of their children?
Solid idea.
That's next. I'm going to do give your kids on the go.
Yeah. Healthy things.
Perfect for everybody. You make little snacks.
What is that noise?
Yeah, I don't know what that noise is.
I feel like we are in space. It sounds like we're in space.
It does feel like we're in space a little bit. So check it out. Well, Dan, I'm excited to have let everybody know, too, which is really fun, is that our next episode of Random Acts of Cooking comes out next Tuesday. And we're excited about that because it's going to be a three-part series, man. A three-part series, Jeff. It's gonna add, basically, every Tuesday a new part comes out.
Love it. I was there. It was amazing.
Dude, I'm stoked about it. I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see it. And, Dan, you were there as well.
Yo, I've been waiting so patiently for this. I really want to see it. I'm super excited. That was the one thing they asked me. What was my favorite personal event that I did? And I said that because it meant a lot to me to help to teach some kids because I've been there. I've been in their shoes. I know what it's like trying to come up and doing your thing. And someone taking the time to show you some stuff and giving them the knife and stuff is great motivation for them. And I feel like that really touched me on a personal level.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, man. I'm excited to see it come out and see how these kids react to it, too, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, they got to be excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
I'd love to see where they are now. I wonder, because they graduated last year, right?
Yeah.
I don't think, not all of them.
Both of them. That kid, Zoe, I just saw him. He's struggling in college. And the other one, I follow him on Instagram. There's a couple of them that I still kind of pay attention to. They look like they're doing
nice.
Well, that's good stuff, man. Nice. Listen, and Dan, we're super proud of you for getting out there. And like, I mean, you were headlining, man. You were a headliner.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to do my thing. I just want, you know, if you're going to give me the opportunity to talk about food, I'm going to take it. It's all good. I love talking about food, so I could do that all day.
Right. Nah, it makes total sense, man. It makes total sense, and you're one of the best guys to do it, so we're really freaking proud of you. You going to hang with us a little bit here tonight, man, or you got to go?
No, I can hang. I can hang. I can chill. With, you know, whatever.
You got a pro wrestling background? You a fan of pro wrestling at all?
Yo, I love wrestling. Back in the day, I stopped watching it, but I used to watch it faithfully. Yo, it shit started in Connecticut. They got the damn, yo, wrestling with Sergeant Slaughter lived down the street from me. It was great. Yo, he had a... Yo, he really did. He lived in Stratford. He had the limo. He had a camo limo.
Come
on. Drive down the street. Every time people saw him, be like, oh, look. Yo, I swear to God.
That is freaking too funny, man.
Yo, he had
Did you trick-or-treat at Sergeant Slaughter's house?
Huh?
Did you trick-or-treat at Sergeant Slaughter's house?
No, I did not.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter?
Never had the goddamn light on.
Slaughter, Slaughter?
He never had the damn light on.
He never had the light on. Well, he was playing the heel, that's man. When, about that, you were that age, he was a heel. Remember, he was anti-American Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. So he probably was like, fuck y'all kids.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Anti-American?
Oh, yeah. He did a whole anti-American thing, bro.
Yeah, is
that when Hulk Hogan started wearing black?
No, you're jumping ahead a little bit now. You're jumping ahead. Come on, it's a timeline.
That was a very bizarro thing for me, too. I didn't like that look. It really threw me.
Oh, listen, we're going to get all into that, man. I'm excited
Razor
tonight.
Ramon?
Look, that's the man, the bad guy. Come on. Listen, we're going to take a breather real quick, get our ducks in a row, and when we come back, Jeffy, myself, and Chef Dan, right here on Plum Love Foods Live, we're going to have one of my favorite people, one of the guys I was a giant fan of when I was younger, and I still am to this day. I like him as a person. I like him as a wrestler. He's a fantastic guy. Justin Credible is going to join us, so we come right back. You guys stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back.
right-handed knives, right-handed pants, right-handed spatulas. Ah, nothing works.
Lefty's Left-Handed Kitchen Utensil and Everyday Item Emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
Right-handed cabros, right-handed sharpies, right-handed grills. What are all the fucks?
Lefty's Left-Handed Kitchen Utensil and Everyday Item Emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
Right-handed doorknobs, right-handed computers, right-handed freaking backpacks. I need help!
Lefty's Left-Handed Kitchen Utensil and Everyday Item Emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
You're still responsible.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. She didn't say they was right-handed condoms. I'm a lefty, you so know that, I don't think I owe any money.
Lefty's Left-Handed Kitchen Utensil and Everyday Item Emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
It's the right-handed agenda. Trying to keep left-handed people from doing.
Lefty's Left-Handed Kitchen Utensil and Everyday Item Emporium in Peoria, Illinois, where it's okay to not be right.
Open 3 days a week, 8 p.m. to 1:45 a.m. on the corner of 43rd and Bunny Hop, Peoria.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Oh, yeah, coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, joined as always, Chef Jeffy. And, of course, the one and only Chef Dan Monroe, superstar Chef Dan Monroe. That's what we call him now, Jeffy, because he's a headliner.
I want you to call me Soul Glow.
Say Soul Glow?
Yeah, that's my movie, Coming to America. Soul Glow.
Yo, I feel that's like pretty funny. I remember
my
that.
That'd be my wrestling name, Soul Glow.
Soul Glow. What movie was that? Coming to America, right?
Coming to America, yeah. Greatest movie of all time.
Dude, that's a fantastic movie. I got asked the other day what my favorite movie of all time was, and I said Aliens.
Oh.
You remember Aliens?
Yeah, I remember Aliens. The movie is a great movie. I don't know about all time.
I think it's one of the best of all time for sure. That's a great-ass movie, man. No doubt about it.
Yo, Sigourney Weaver fucks shit up.
She does. My favorite part is when she gets in that giant machine and she goes, "Back off, bitch."
You know, is that part two?
No, that's one? Aliens, which is the second Alien movie. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they confuse the fuck out of you.
That fuck.
That's right.
Why are you gonna do it like that? That's good. I mean,
it's a good movie.
I
don't think so. Come on. All right, listen. This is splitting hairs right now. That's what that is.
We're talking. You said like greatest of all time. I mean, I don't know if I would put Aliens 2
over what?
Or Alien 2 or how would you? What would you call it? Aliens. It's just Aliens.
Aliens.
It's, Alien
it's like an Alien movie. Well, all right, well, Jeff. What do you think is a better movie than Aliens?
The Wizard of Oz.
What? No, shut up. Stop.
Miracle on 42nd Street. I mean, we're talking greatest of all time movies, right?
Never heard of it.
All right. Dances with Wolves.
What's that? No, I'm not into musicals.
Goodfellas.
Nope. Okay, there you go. Going gangster. Every
I don't
Godfather,
know,
but Godfather 3.
Yeah. I never heard. I'm not into like family films. I like Alien.
Platoon.
Alien. Platoon. A great movie, but depressing. I'll stick with Aliens. Come on, that's a great fucking movie. All right, look, gentlemen. Let me ask you guys a question. It's one of those times where on the program where we have guests on that become friends of the show who become friends for you in real life. And this our guest we have tonight is no different. The guy has been literally all over the world. He was one of, in my opinion, one of the great wrestlers of all time. Not only that, a great wrestler, a former champion, and a former ECW heavyweight champion, former WWE hardcore champion.
The guy's been all over the world. He's worked with some of the best people in the world. Has some amazing stories. Not only that, he's a former cook, too. How about that? Do you guys know that? My man spent some time in the kitchen like the rest of us. But he's also an absolutely amazing human being, which is what I like the most about him. The guy, you know, it's been pretty prominent what the man's been through in his life, but super great guy. One of my favorite people on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and the only Justin Credible to the program. Brother, what's happening?
Wow. Thank you so much. Wow. Love hearing that.
Dude.
Always love hearing
yeah.
Do you still use this as your intro music when you do shows?
Absolutely.
It's a fucking good. Great song, dude. I was a giant Prong fan. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It just always, you know, one thing ECW always did right was they really knew how to interconnect what kids, the young kids were listening to, like grunge, harder stuff, whatever it was. You know, we really, you know, knew how to infuse that and, like, make it cool. It's like, you know, our shit's cool. They got, you know, synthesizers and baloney, and we've got Marilyn Manson. And
yeah, no
Prong,
doubt about it. I mean,
you know, Pantera. So yeah.
Yeah, but you're seeing some pretty dope ass intro songs these days in wrestling. I know my boys here on the program, they don't follow it close as I still do, but I mean, there's some really. I mean, intro music is so fun. Like, I want intro music everywhere I go, dude. Like, I just want. We were Jeffy and I were at a festival, Justin, and we were there in Mexico, and we were doing a competition where I came out and had to compete against some other chefs, and I brought this little like boombox with me, and I'm holding it over my head, like it fucking playing music off of it as I'm walking through the crowd, completely playing the heel. It was awesome. Because look, even in food, you can't have a good guy without a bad guy, right?
No.
You gotta have a bad guy. Jeff, you remember that?
I do remember it. I loved it.
It was very, very fun.
Big fan of theme music, no matter what I'm doing.
Right. We should all have theme music. That's for sure. Brother, what's been going on with you, man? Like, you've kind of been all over the place. I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm so glad to have you on here now. What's new? What's happening with you? Did we lose Justin?
I lost you. Yeah, no. I lost you for a little bit. I am so sorry.
No, don't worry,
just
man.
Just repeat. Yeah, no, just repeat one more time.
What's going on with you, man? I haven't talked to you in so long. I'm happy to have you, man.
Oh,
what's going on with you these days?
Man, so much going on. I've been busy every single weekend. You know, thank God, wrestling every weekend. If not wrestling, doing conventions. I'm staying very busy with podcasting. I do personalized videos on the weekends. I do seminars. You know, I actually have a show Saturday in Long Island and then a seminar Sunday. So, you know, I'm staying in there, man. You know, you gotta keep hustling. I got a ton of T-shirts out at Pro Wrestling Tees. I'm always trying to, you know, get the next best thing out there. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, I guess.
You still got the "I hate this town" shirt. It's my favorite.
It's still up there, absolutely. That and the Got Blood shirt.
Oh yeah, you got blood. That's pretty funny too. so how does it go, man? These days, when you're doing matches, obviously, like you're traveling so much. I mean, I'm guessing you're probably not going quite as hard as you usually do, right?
I don't go quite as hard as I usually do. Not even half. But you know, the reason is right now I'm grossly overweight. I'm about 250. Well, I'm 250 pounds normally, and I'm pretty close to 280. Yeah. So I'm really overweight, and it's starting to give me like a medical scare. Like I'm starting to get nervous. So I really got to, you know, get into some kind of workout program and actually just stick to it.
Yeah, get back to that DDP yoga, man. That shit was amazing.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do. I just don't want to always be, you know, putting it out there. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's all, you know, a bunch of bullshit. So
I got to get you up my buddy Chef Dan here, man. He's a machine. He's an animal when he works out. He doesn't have washboard abs. He has like a deck of abs. It's
nice, crazy. But brother, it's a lot of sacrifice. It's not just the workout. It's everything. It's the way you eat, everything you put
Absolutely.
In your body. You know, and Dallas has a pretty cool regimen. It's only, you know, no gluten, no sugar, and no dairy. You know, it's not that hard. Mostly, you know, the carbohydrates and stuff, they kind of frown upon. But, you know, other if it's gluten-free, dairy-free, and sugar-free, you can pretty much go for it. So,
a lot of vegetables, a lot of meats, man. There's nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. So I was telling these boys a little bit, man, about how you spent some time actually working in kitchens. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, when I first got let go from WWE, it must have been on 2003, 2004, I spent time in Japan after I got fired. And that worked out for a little while. But when the run ended, you know, I came home. We had a big mortgage, you know, $2,500 a month. And indies weren't doing it. So,
right.
I decided to go to culinary school. And I went to culinary school. I lasted about 5 or 6 weeks until I couldn't afford it. Not because I quit, because I didn't want to. I just couldn't afford it, and I couldn't keep up with the payments because I couldn't get student aid. But nonetheless, you know, I learned some stuff. I went over to Olive Garden, and, you know, I've worked in 6 or 7 different kitchens all over Connecticut. So, you know, I know how to do my thing around the kitchen.
Kitchen work is no joke, man. It's
pretty
hard.
It's too much. It's too stressful for me. Yeah, I know it is. If you're doing it right on a busy Friday or Saturday, it's too stressful for me, man.
Would you rather get hit in the head with a kendo stick or work a Friday night in the kitchen?
I'll take 2 or 3 kendo sticks. You know? No, I'm serious. That's heavy duty work, man. People have no idea what goes on in the kitchen. It's hard work.
It's no joke.
It's hard. No, it's no joke.
Hey, let me ask you, man. I've seen your kendo stick. You know, you guys know one of the things he's known for is carry his kendo stick around with him. That shit's hard as fuck, and you swing it like you're fucking going for hitting a home run. How do you not knock the shit out of somebody?
I try not to. I mean, I really do. I try to hit him. I'm serious. I try to hit him in the easiest spot possible, so it won't, you know, hit him in their eye or in their temple or
over the shoulder.
You know, well, the shoulder you can get hurt. You know, but if they agree to take it in the head, I'll hit him on the best part, right? You know, right square above the head. You know, that's usually the best place.
Fuck. That's gonna suck, man.
My head's ringing just thinking about that.
Brother, I go back to YouTube, you could see some sick chair shots, man. That Sandman and I used to give one another.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We got a brother of ours, Chef Dave. He wants to take a kendo stick shot from you. I think it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea.
I'll take it easy.
I'll take it easy. He did some backyard stuff years ago in Detroit. He's a funny guy. You, with all the traveling around the world and stuff that you've done, when you would eat, I'm guessing back in the day, like nowadays they have catering and it's very, very, you know, people are well taken care of. But in your day, it wasn't quite like that, right?
It wasn't like that at all. No, we didn't have any of that. We were very much... you know, you get your money and your tickets at the beginning of the month, and when you got your tickets, you also got the booking sheet, and it basically told you where you had to go that month, and you know, and they gave you the card and who you were wrestling. So if you're if you're in Madison Square Garden in a semi-main event, you're making a couple hundred grand. If you're in bumfuck Mississippi, you know, it's gonna be a little different. So it was always like you always had that. That was almost like a lottery. You know, I'd open up my checks scared. You know, sometimes we'd get checks that we were like, "Where did that come from? Where did that come from?" But there were other times where, oof. You know, it's like it's that story where you always want what you can't have. Like sometimes you think you have it, but you really don't, because it could change at any moment.
Right.
Yeah. We just, you know, the kids don't have it today, though. I don't believe, and they still have it to a little degree, but not as bad. Not as bad. They're making more money.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's kind of like in our business as private chefs, when we go from making a day rate to finally getting like a here's a set salary for you for the year. You know, gives you a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, of course, and that sometimes makes all the difference in the world, really.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. No doubt about it, man. So who are some of the guys that you still keep in touch with? I know you were tight with you and X-Pac were really tight. And do you still talk to these guys?
I haven't talked to Pac in probably since the Hall of Fame. I saw Road Dogg 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks ago, about 7 days ago. He was at a convention with me last Saturday in New Jersey, and he was there. He was cool, and seemed like great spirits, you know. And let me think. Well, I saw Adam Bomb.
Holy shit! I remember that guy.
Yeah, I have that up in my Instagram somewhere. Who else did I see? I saw Ron Simmons, Farouk.
Oh, damn.
Who else? Jeez.
Is it cordial when you see these guys? Are everybody's cool?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. I love to see these guys. For the most part, I've never had a bad experience with anybody. I never did anything to anybody to hurt me. I was always I always tried to be a pretty standard guy, you know. But it was just I'm just trying to think who the Valentine, of course, was there. Boogeyman was there. It was kind of weak. It was very weak.
Brother's asking us about if you've seen Raven at all.
I have not seen Raven in years. Yeah, it's a shame. No Raven.
Hey, where's your show at this weekend out on Long Island?
I have a show at a building called NYWC. It's in Deer Park, New York. It's a
Deer Park. That's good.
Yeah, it's a world famous wrestling place. It's been there since Mikey Whipwreck and his partner both kind of started it. And it is it's a complete wrestling. You know, it's like an arena. It's a workout center. It's everything. It's a television studio. So we're going to have a show there Saturday night, and then Sunday I'm going to stay over the night, and we are going to do a, not tryout, I should say, because I can't give you a job, but at least do a seminar where I could tighten you guys up and really help work out the kinks and try to make you the best you can be.
All right, look, I'm getting back into it. You know, I'm 41 years old now with 25 years of restaurant experience behind me, so that means I'm like 69 years old. But we've talked about it. You know, I did some independent stuff back in Virginia, working with some, I don't know if you remember Kaida Pro. That's who I did some training with years and years ago. I'm going to get back into it. Am I too old?
No, I don't believe you are.
No, really?
Nope. I don't believe so.
Jeffy, we're you going to know tag
why? Bro, you want to know why? Everything like that is just a number. Dallas Page got his shot in 19 when he was 32 years old.
Yeah.
32 years old.
What an amazing guy he is, huh?
Yeah, but you should read his book. He... Not everybody's Dallas Page. I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody, but he could do it. Anybody could do it.
He worked his ass off for it, too. You know, he's a great guy. He's one of the, you introduced me to him years ago. I still talk to him. He's a super sweet guy. And he's doing a lot of great things for people, man, which is amazing. Jeffy, why don't you give some plugs out there for Justin so we can find out where to follow him on Instagram?
You're going to find him on Instagram and on Twitter at PJ Polacco, P-O-L-A-C-O. And you want to check him on his weekly podcast, I Hate This Podcast, which is on iTunes.
Which is hysterical, man. Where'd you find this guy, Jax, you do that show with?
He was just a buddy of mine who, we'd hung around for a long time. I knew him since 2009.
I hate his name.
The reason he has his name Jax was I was big into the show Sons of Anarchy. Uh-huh. And he rides a badass Harley, and he has like a little bit of that blonde haired Jax Teller thing. So I was like, fuck, you're Jax.
There you go.
So I was like, you're my Jax.
Yeah, that's a gimmick name.
And that's stuck, you know.
That's hysterical. So listen, man, so with you, as far as nowadays, there's so much stuff. It's almost like wrestling is having a resurgence right now, more so than it's really kind of ever had in a very, very long time. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, like WWE's, all their shows are now on TV. They're about to go to Fox.
But of course, AEW, which is a brand new group, is starting up on Tuesday night. Bro, what are your thoughts on this? Like, everything is kind of blowing up again. It's going to be wild.
It's going to be very interesting, and I have no idea where any of this is going because we're going into uncharted territories. And if I say something, it'll only be, you know, just me kind of spitballing and making it up. Because with what's going on, I don't think anybody has, you know, somebody's going to do a big, big swerve to start this motherfucker. Almost like when Shane dropped the NWA title, kind of a thing. Something big is going down.
What about when Lex Luger showed up on the first episode of Nitro?
Something. I'm just saying, yeah, something's going to happen. I don't know what.
I'll tell you what, because here's the thing, because, you know, NXT got me back into watching wrestling. I love watching NXT.
Yes.
You
guys, me too.
It's awesome. I mean, I just love seeing these guys that I've watched independent shows, like when they would come out. Like Johnny Gargano is the fucking man. Tommaso Ciampa, that's the fucking, those dudes are badass. And it's just awesome to see them on TV and have that opportunity. But to go head to head, to give us as wrestling fans another chance to watch something, to flip back and forth again, I think it's pretty exciting.
Well, I definitely think so too, but for those guys waiting, I don't know. It's kind of lost me on that one.
Well, we should get you back in shape and have you start managing a group. We should get you a back.
No. I'm not managing anything. My whole thing is to get back in shape and wrestle like Terry Funk used to until I'm 50. That's what I want to do. But I got to be in shape and I got to be able to do it right. But that's what I want to do. That's my goal.
Well, dude, listen. I'll tell you what. Terry Funk is 197 years old. And the dude he's a fucking Terminator.
He's not doing very good, dude.
No?
No. I talked to Dreamer the other day and he lost his wife.
I knew that.
You know, to cancer. A while ago, you know, maybe 4 months ago, and ever since then, he's just, not been well. So he's not really taking calls from many people. So, you know, it's sad.
Well, she was his rock too,
brother. It's like if Jill left me, or you know, died right now. You know,
yeah,
no whatever. It's I don't know what to do. You know, we are such partners in this game. It's ridiculous, but anyways, not to be sad about it, but yeah, I just want to be that Terry Funk guy, you know, until I'm done.
Damn. All right. Well, I like that. I think you should do that. You could just get back in shape and make it happen. That's all you got to do. Actually, you don't have to be in that great of shape. Just swing the fucking kendo stick.
No, exactly. I owe it to myself to be the best worker I can be. I don't want to just be lazy. I want to actually do what I got to do. So,
talk about some of the guys you, back way back when in the early 90s when you were doing the Aldo Montoya gimmick, which is hysterical. I see you on Twitter, man. I don't do much on Twitter anymore, but I still follow you pretty closely. And I see you're posting the action figures and things like that. For those of you who don't know, one of his first big characters in the WWE was Aldo Montoya, the Portuguese Man of War, where basically you wore a jockstrap on your face.
Yeah, it was basically a superhero looking guy with a mask that very, you know, ominously looked like a jockstrap.
And, not on purpose, yeah. But
not you were purpose. Very bronze too when you were the Portuguese man.
I was in good shape. I was all gassed up, you know. But anyways, it was cool, dude. I had a great time. I traveled the world, got to work with some great guys. I got to learn every day from really some of the best. And you're not learning at 100, you know, 100-seat VFW. You're learning in front of 15, 20,000 people sometimes, at the Garden or at the Spectrum, at the, you know, Boston Garden or whatever, Chicago, Detroit. You're in there in those arenas and you're, like, really learning. I mean, so you can't get better than that.
You had some serious training too. You trained up in Canada, right?
Yeah, like, trained up in Calgary
with the Hart family.
Yes, sir.
Which is
that's insane. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's getting your ass kicked every single day, living off bags of potatoes, right?
I graduated high school in 1991. I worked a full year to save money to go to Bruce Hart's school. And after I'd saved the money, I called him. And he said, sure, you know, come on up here. You know, he found me a place to stay or whatever. And got my plane ticket. And here I went. And let me tell you, the first 5 days of camp, you did not even go near a wrestling ring before you ran 5 miles, did, you know, hundreds of free squats, you know, all kinds of calisthenics and stuff like that. And then whoever survived that would then help put up the ring for the day.
It's like so, you get the prize, you have to put the ring up. You have to do more physical labor.
Damn. You know, they don't do it today, but what it was, they wanted you to quit. They wanted you to quit. They took your money. I had to pay up front $3,500 at the time, but they wanted you to quit because if they were going to put their name behind you, if they're going to say, these one of ours, you know, that's a big deal. And that's what got me my first job in the WWF is because, you know, I went to a house show just being a stupid kid, not knowing anybody. And I said, you know, Mr. Gurria, you know, I know you're full tonight, but I got my gear with me. I'm trained by the Hart brothers in Calgary. And he said, whoa, really? And he started, you know, and from there, you start talking to people. You get a reputation. You have a rapport, you know.
Well, you did do something like that. What was your first match? Like, what did they let you do when you first went?
My first match, that night he told me they were looking for wrestlers for a new show called Monday Night Raw in Manhattan. Right. So I said, all right, great. So a couple weeks later, I went to Monday Night Raw in Manhattan. And they said, you know, I signed all these papers. They'd give me $150 to just go out there and lose. I said, okay. So the first guy I ever got in the ring with was the narcissist Lex Luger.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
as you know, Lex Luger is not really known to be the best, you know, person in the ring, the safest guy in the ring, right?
No, well, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. No, I mean, I can't say that about Lex. He was very professional, but it was just for me. It was the intimidation of the TV, the lights, the all the cameras, just everything.
What was your name that night? Do you remember?
PJ Walker.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was your like squash name, right?
Yeah, and it was just It was just surreal to be in that environment. It's like, holy shit, this is the real, this isn't some indie, you know, bullshit promotion. This is the WWF. And, when he finished the match, he was very easy on me, barely touched me at all. Didn't hurt me.
Did you get to have any offense or no?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
What was your first win? Do you remember?
I do, yeah. Yeah, same kind of thing. Madison Square Garden, not Madison Square Garden. What was it? What the fuck was that place called?
In New York, or
it's not the Hammerstein. It's the other one,
Roseland.
The little one up top where they did Raw.
Manhattan.
The Manhattan Center.
Manhattan Center. Yeah. Okay. It was the Manhattan Center, and Razor and IRS had been going back and forth about, you know, making each other lose, whatever. So I had a match with IRS and
Irwin, you know, R. Scheister.
I go out there and, you know, have a match with them, whatever. And about 3 minutes down, Razor starts making his way to ringside doing his shtick. And, you know, our Scheister leaves me alone. The ref, everybody starts, you know, fighting. You know, happens for a minute, and all of a sudden, I just came from behind, rolled him up. Ref counted 1, 2, 3, and that was it.
And then it's just all uphill from there, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, how do they pitch you to do the Aldo Montoya gimmick? Because I mean, you're a Portuguese guy to begin with. Like, that's real life heritage for you.
Yes.
So they pitched this to you, or did you pitch it?
Oh, they had the whole thing written out before they even knew me. You know? Yeah, they had the whole thing drawn out. I just happened to be at the right place, right time, right denomination.
That's awesome.
I mean, it went well for you. It was a great character, but I think you really kind of came into your own in ECW. That's where I remember seeing you the most. I remember Aldo Montoya. I remember those matches on Superstars in the morning on Saturdays and stuff. But watching ECW like at midnight on, I forget which channel it was on, you know, when I was living in, when I just got to Connecticut, and watching those shows and watch you come out and just, I mean, you were such a fucking douchebag to people. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
it's like you were angry at what had happened.
But I really wasn't. It was just a liberation to be what we were, you know. If they wanted me to be a bad guy, I was going to be the best damn bad guy they've ever seen. And I think that went with that. You know what I mean? If I'm going to be, you know, a lunatic or a... whatever, a high flyer, you know what I mean? We just, whatever our job was, we just went at it like, this is do or die. So we just went out there and did the best versions of us we could, you know, I think.
Dude, it was amazing. It's funny, I remember being in Virginia, and you guys came to VCU, and you came down there and did a show, and I was trying, after the show, I was trying to get your attention. And you kind of gave me a little fist, like, wave, and kept walking. And I was like, that was awesome. That was awesome. And now we're buddies, which is even cooler.
That's even cooler, dude. That's funny, though. God.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But, you know, listen, what about Lance Storm? Because you guys, you know, Jeffy, he was with a faction called the Impact Players, which was amazing, with Lance Storm, clearly, arguably one of the best wrestlers ever to walk the planet. It was you and him, and you guys were fucking so dominant with Don Marie, who, my God, I was so in love with. When's the last time you talked to Lance? Do you guys have any contact still?
We talk once in a while, yeah. Lance and I have a great relationship. You know, we are not necessarily the closest when we're not with each other, but if I see him at a show or, you know, if we cross paths somewhere, it's like the whole night's, you know, ruined because we'll sit there and talk for hours and hours. You know, my wife is friends with his wife, you know, so we've known each other for so long. You know, it's like that with a lot of wrestling. You know, we're on the road so much, or we were on the road so much, that when you went home, you don't think of wrestling as much. And then when you go back out there on the weekend, that's when you see your other family.
Yeah.
You know, but some of the other families spread around, so you don't get to see them as often. But, you know, it's just always how it's been, to be honest with you.
Man, it's so funny how that works, because you watch those shows back in the day. You can watch them on the WWE Network as well now, but you can find clips on YouTube. Man, you guys were so awesome together. It was such a dominant group. I loved it. You know, I think factions are awesome. I think that's something we'll see more of in wrestling. I think any kind of faction is awesome. You have a faction of chefs like we have, like me and Jeff and Dan and Dave and Michelle and Robbie. Like, it's our faction. Like, I love it, man. I think that's a great thing to have. I mean, I don't know. I was always a fan of Four Horsemen, I guess, Jeffy. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, yeah. It's not just that, but it's competition. Competition, and not in a bad way, but in wrestling, like, wrestling is fake, but in competing to be the best performer, the best worker, to be the best chef, you know, to have the best team, whatever it may be, right. You know, it just gives you that little extra, you know, everybody likes to play. Everybody likes to be the cock of the walk once in a while, you know. And then
cock of the walk. That's awesome.
I did.
That's our new band.
Cock of the walk.
That's our new band. Listen, cock of the walk.
Listen, you guys are gonna have to give me 2 seconds literally 2 seconds. I gotta do something. Two seconds.
All right, we'll give them 2 seconds. It's funny, Jeff, when you hear guys like this talk and tell these stories, man, that have been all over the world and just seen so much and been a part of so much stuff, it's amazing to hear, you know, talking about learning your craft and training in front of 18, 15, 17,000 people. Can you imagine that as a chef? What if, like, every night when you went to work, you had to cook in front of 30,000 people? How crazy would that be?
would be insane. I was thinking like that. I was like, it would be like, it'd be like if you like were learning at, you know, per se, but like working the pass,
right?
You know, like
for day one. How can here you go? Yeah,
exactly. Like here you go.
It would be crazy, Dan. Could you imagine doing that, dude?
Oh yeah, I think about it all the time. It sounds amazing. I really do. I think about like comedians. They do stand up in front of people. I think it'd be really fucking dope to be up there cooking and just yelling shit at people, throw a chair into the crowd or something. That'd be great. Jesus,
Dan. Yeah, I'm here.
That's ridiculous. And man, we're just talking about how crazy it would be to do our craft, like learning our craft when we were younger, having to learn it in front of 15, 18,000 people every night. So that'd be fucked up, dude.
Man, it's actually pretty easy, believe it or not.
Well, you had some great teachers along the way. Hey, got a question coming in from man, coming in for you. Talking about guy wants to know how was it working with Sabu Terry?
He was really easy, believe it or not. I was very nervous at first because I've heard, you know, a lot of horror stories. But when we got into it, it was an easy night. We really got into a rhythm very quickly, and by 2-3 weeks in, we had a, you know, paper every match, you know, very easy.
It was pretty easy, huh? Even like thumbtacks and crazy shit.
Oh no, everything was a work. Everything was great. Not to kill his gimmick, but he took care of me.
That's great to know. I mean, listen, when you work his style, you know, it's scary. It looks scary. It looks crazy, you know, on video. But I guess if you're taking care of you, that's a great thing. What about guys like New Jack?
I'm going to kill his gimmick, too. He'd barely touch me.
Really?
I just worked with New Jack about a month ago in West Virginia. And
yeah, I saw the picture.
I mean, it was, you know, he's a pussycat. If he wants to, now that's if he likes you. If he don't like you. So,
Whatever it was, right?
Hey, I've been around 27 years, so I guess I earned my respect. So, but some of the other kids, I don't know.
Wow, but you work with guys like that. So New Jack's not like a biggest guy. You're bigger than he is. Like, I mean, I can imagine that, you know, if he's going to potato you, you're probably going to hit him back pretty hard.
I mean, I guess after a while, sure. I mean, if it continued to happen, but, and something like that normally never happens. Not at all.
Man, that's crazy to hear. I mean, you watch these matches, these guys go so hard, and you hear, like, nah, he's a pussycat. It doesn't really hurt. Gimmick ruined. You're gonna get emails from people. That's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you something. In WWE and even in New Japan, they're beating the hell out of each other. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And I almost wonder, is that going to be the new norm, even in AEW? Because, you know, we talk sometimes about, you know, protection and concussions and CTE and making sports entertainment, pro wrestling safer. Like, these guys are just... I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I do not see it. Watching guys like, you know, Nakamura calls himself the King of Strong Style, so now everybody wants to be that, you know?
Yeah, but everything, you know, Sabu was also, you know, homicidal and all that. But towards the end, he used to cut the barbs off the wire. Okay. So, well, the fans, you know, after you did it a couple times, the fans wouldn't know it was real. They would think it's real, and you had to smarten up a little bit. You know what I mean? We're human.
It hurts, man.
Yeah. So I just worry about these kids. And you know what I mean, and where it's going to lead them.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. I mean, who knows which way it's going to go, especially with all the competition coming up with it now. That's for damn sure. Jeff, why don't you throw those plugs out there for him one more time before we get Justin on out of here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to check him across all his social media platforms at PJ Polacco, and you want to check him weekly at I Hate This Podcast on iTunes.
Are you guys still doing that podcast once a week?
We're not doing it once a week right now, but we are coming back next week, right before we start the big mysterious guest AEW pay-per-view or no weekly show review. So
that's right. The new podcast. And, it's a new project is starting for Justin Credible with a surprise person. They're going to be doing a weekly show, right?
Yes, October 5th will be the first one. But real quick, last plug, prowrestlingtees.com/Justin Credible. It has like 20 amazing t-shirts. You mean, it? You know, if you anything hardcore, anything ECW, anything Justin Credible, it's there for you. So check it out, prowrestlingtees.com/Justin Credible.
Yeah, definitely go there, man. Those guys do a great job, man. They take care of the workers, too, man. They make sure they get the most of that money.
Yes, sir.
Man, I tell you what. How's the body, man? How are you holding up? How's you know, got any aches and pains? Or we have any? Can't bend my left knee. What's going on with all that with you?
No, my body's okay. A little bit of aches and pains in my shoulder, my left shoulder, my knees. But my biggest thing is I'm very overweight. Like I said, I'm about 40, 50 pounds overweight. Yeah. So that's my biggest thing.
We're going to work out together, man. That's what we're going to do, you and I, because I'm on a whole plan right now, you and me.
Brother, show up at the house. I'm done.
Let's go. We'll do it together. That's what we're going to do.
You know where I live. Come on.
It's going to be awesome, man.
All right.
Listen, well, Dan, you want to jump in and ask a question, right, man? I just thought Dan was he's been hanging out with us, too, Chef Dan. He's a Connecticut native. Probably one of the best chefs I know, Justin. He's been hanging out with us tonight. He's kind of kept quiet and just listening in, but he's... You know, he just asked me a question. He's like, hey, can I ask something? Yeah, go ahead, man.
What's up, man? You know, for me, I always liked when people like, especially football players or celebrities, kind of came into the ring. And, like, I remember The Fridge came in one time, and then they just had a 49er come in, like, last week or this week or something. I know you had a thing with the Insane Clown Posse. How did you, like, hook up with that? Like, how does that kind of stuff happen where people from the outside come in? Does that like affect how you wrestle? Do you change how you do things when you do it with somebody that's not a professional wrestler?
Yeah, you almost have to. You really have to, because they're you know, you don't want to cause anybody any harm, and at the end of the day, you want to put on the best show you can. So I would think the guys in that battle royal would have known better and said, you know, look, this is, you know, you're not ready for this. Just kind of stick by me, kid, and I'll get you through it. You know, and it happens more times than not. But you know, you always get those one or two SOBs that are you know, pretty brutal out there. So you always, you know, you got to watch out for them shooters. Oh, you know, that's the truth, man.
All right, look, that's here's the deal, Justin. Here's the plan, right? You're gonna do a local show here in Connecticut. Right.
Yes.
And you're gonna have we're gonna walk with you to the ring. Our crew. How about that? All the chefs.
Hey, I'm down right now.
We'll come down to the ring with you, Jeffy. We could do that, right?
Listen. The first show is January 4th.
Yo, we can make that. I was kind of kidding. We can make that happen if you want. We can make a big deal about it. We could do a radio show live from there. Yeah. It'd be really fun. Yeah.
January 4th, Jewett City, right outside of Mohegan Sun. Legitimate. That's going to be our legitimate first show, called Battlefront Extreme.
This is amazing. I love it, and I have a great relationship with Mohegan Sun, so we could all crash there. Listen,
let's do it,
brother. I'm so happy to talk to you. I'm so happy we reconnected. I'm so happy to hear that you're healthy and doing well. And I know you keep talking about being overweight, but I'm not worried about that. That's easy. That's an easy fix. I'm more worried about other things that's happened in your life. That's pretty well documented, but. We don't need to get into all that stuff, man. Listen, we all have our demons. But I'm glad to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're doing well. And I can't wait to see what happens in the future. And I'm so glad that we reconnected.
Thank you. I'm so glad, too, brother. It sounds good. And it meant a lot to me. So thank you so much, man. It meant the world.
You're good people, brother. And I look forward to hearing the new stuff, man. October 5th, be on the lookout. The brand new project. Justin Credible and his mystery tag team partner. They're going to be talking all about AEW. The landscape is changing, and Justin Credible is going to be in the forefront telling us all about it. Man, I'm looking forward to it.
Hell yeah.
Brother.
All right, chefs.
You're the man.
Thank you, guys.
We'll connect with you on down the road. All right, brother?
Yeah, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, man. We'll see
you. Our pleasure.
There he goes, guys. The one and only Justin Credible. Make sure you follow him on all social medias at PJ Polacco. What a great guy, a super nice guy. Let's take a breather for 2 seconds, and we'll be right back with Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there, guys. You got your boys Chef Jeff, Chef Dan, and myself. We'll be right back. Hang tight.
Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard seltzer, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
There's a whole lot happening right there, huh? How about that?
That was the remix.
The remix. My computer kind of went crazy there on me. It wasn't my fault. I clicked one and it started clicking everything. I don't know what the hell that was about. Welcome back, Plum Love Foods Live. Your boy Chef Plum, Chef Dan, and Chef Jeff hanging out. Big shout out, thanks to our guest tonight, the one, the only, the hardcore icon, ECW heavyweight, former ECW heavyweight champion, WWE hardcore champion, Justin Credible, joining us, telling some stories from the past and hearing all his stories, man. What a fun thing, right, huh?
It's freaking awesome. He was so cool.
Super
cool. I mean, the fact that he did so much and he's so down to earth, I just think it's so awesome. I just think, he's like you said, he's like legit a hero.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been around the block, man. It was amazing. I mean, he's seen it all. That's what it is to it. You hear a guy like him, and you know, he's worked hard his entire life, man. His entire life, much like we have.
Former,
you know. I mean, he's trying to get it done. It's to me when you hear a guy who has been through the troubles that he's been through, and he's so focused now on being concerned about being overweight, to me, that's a win. I mean, there was a point in time where we were really worried about Justin, and we weren't sure what was going to happen to him. And I mean, there was some jail time, and there was a situation at an independent wrestling show that he got arrested. I mean, it was just not a good situation. And you know, his wife was very sick, but this is all things he talked about on the show before, so I'm not saying anything that's not public knowledge. But, you know, to hear him come on and talk about, you know, being worried about his weight and trying to get back into it, I think it's good news. You know, that's how I look at it. He's a sweetheart. He's a sweet guy.
Super transparent dude. I think that's amazing. The fact that he's been through so much and willing to talk about everything and he's just with it.
Yo,
love it.
I'm going to keep in touch with him. I'm dead serious. We're going to walk him to the ring on January 4th.
Dude, I would love that. Are you kidding me? That would be amazing.
I'm taking a bump.
Hell yeah.
I'm taking a bump. They're going to take me out. Y'all got to get pissed. And we gotta make sure that we fucking interfere and win the match for him.
Hell yeah.
Like, we got to make sure Justin goes over. We got to interfere. The ref will get pissed and eject us from the ring, but we'll still stay and fucking, it'll be dope. Hey, and look, here's the thing. An independent wrestling show, they'd be happy to have us there. Like, being there, broadcasting, making a big deal. I think they'd be all into it, right?
You would think.
I mean,
they have to be.
We could do local TV and promote the shit out of it. It'd be awesome.
Hell yeah.
I know Dave's into it too. Dave's chomping the bit. Let's get him on the horn here so he can be a part of the conversation. But listen, it's so fun to talk to this guy and hear his stories. And what I think is so interesting about PJ and what he's done, you know, Justin, is that it's. The guy worked in the food industry. Dude, it touches everybody. What we do, it like affects everybody in some way, shape, or form, Dan.
Oh, absolutely. That's food touches everybody, and everybody got to eat, and it's all in how you do it. You know, it interprets yourself, interprets what you do, and it comes into all kinds of lifestyles, you know?
Yo, no doubt about it. Dave was... Oh, shit. Hold on a second. What am I doing? Oh, who saw this coming? Hey, Dave.
There we go. I was like, hold on, where's my music?
Oh, yeah, here it is. All right.
Okay, terrific.
The best around.
Yo, Dave, there's massive wrestling roots where you're from up in Detroit.
Yeah, so like June 4th. How can we actually... I want to fucking wrestle on June 4th. Too.
You can't
I don't want to just walk in.
No.
I want to wrestle.
You're gonna count the lights. You're putting somebody over, though. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
I can't have you walking out to
the powerbomb somebody too. Like,
no, you're not gonna have any offense.
No offense, Dave. No offense,
Dave. You're not gonna have any offense. I can't have you coming into this fucking group and win a match right off the bat. It's not gonna work that way.
Can I, like,
Dave, take over as tag team champions?
Yeah, we'll drop from the rafters.
No, no, Dave. You're gonna take a fucking right cross from somebody. They're gonna put the boots to you, and then you're gonna take the pin and count the life.
All right.
But you'll be on the show.
That works.
I'll make sure you get your $25.
$25. I thought it was $30. Are you guys taking the $5 out for the towel fee?
Booking fee.
Booking slash towel fee. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's $20.
All right. Oh shit.
Plus gas money.
Oh, just coming in across the chef wire, Dave. Apparently, you can't wrestle with AIDS, so I'm sorry you can't be a part of the program tonight.
It's
damn
Lyme disease.
Sorry,
David. Sorry,
not gonna be able to wrestle. Sorry.
the AIDS got you, David.
Yeah, the AIDS. Sorry, not gonna be wrestling tonight. I think that'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Like, look, if we all came out with him wearing chef coats and, like, some badass music. Have fun with that.
Can I hit someone with their kendo stick?
Yeah. He said he'd give you a kendo stick shot if you wanted it. How dope would that be for your Instagram video?
That'd be pretty sweet. I'd take it right across the back.
I mean, yo, have you seen, I guess back in the day, did you see any ECW coming your way and see any Just Incredible matches?
I saw, like, there were a lot of ECW matches in Detroit. I went to two or three. And
did you see when he was a champion?
I did not. But I did get to see one night, like, him and Sabu did two different fights. And I can't remember who he wrestled exactly, but I remember, like, it was the same night Sabu jumped from the second floor onto a table, and the table went through the bottom of his mouth.
Fuck.
Ooh. And he duct taped all the way around his head and just went right back to the match.
Yep.
Oh,
there's a video of that. That's actually on YouTube. You can see that. For guys, Jeff and Dan, if you don't know, Sabu, the guy we're talking about, they used to call him the homicidal, genocidal maniac. He came out, they would wheel him out on a fucking hand truck, and he was like straight jacketed and wore a mask like Hannibal Lecter. And in ECW, they didn't have quite the budget, so whenever Sabu would show up, they would just turn the lights off, and then all of a sudden Sabu, when the lights came up, he'd be in the middle of the ring, pointing to the ceiling, and then he would just do the craziest shit, jumping off like fucking barbed wire wrapping on his elbow and fucking. Sabu was a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, his whole body is nothing but scars. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, but then you talk to Justin Incredible, and he was like, "No, he was really easy. He was very gentle." What? I don't think I heard that about Sabu.
I think he was gentle on his opponents as opposed to himself.
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that. There's probably some truth to that. Jeff, would you take a bump?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
And but for you, I would do a bump, yes.
All right, that means basically you have to fall flat on your back and, you know, as if someone hit you in the head.
Oh, yeah, of course I'd do that.
All right, I'll take a serious bump. I know, Dave, you could take a bump, right?
Yeah.
All right, so, Dave, you and I might take the fucking... We might shine him up and fucking let the Dan and Jeffy and Robbie like fucking do the hawk tag tongue comeback. Is that cool?
That works. I can get my
yeah. Me too. I'll take a beating.
Hit me with the fluorescent tube. Let's call it a day. Let's do this.
You want the light bulb? You want the light bulb? All right, cool. I want to hit my finisher.
Kendo stick, everything.
I'm trying to hit my finisher.
All right.
If they'll let me, I don't know if they will. Anyway. Great times talking to Justin Incredible. This is the thing, man. I think pro wrestling affects all of us at some straight, you know, some weird way at some point in our life. I mean, we all have a story about it, especially in the age range that we're in. If you haven't checked it out now, I do recommend you do because it's super entertaining and the shit's coming back strong. You just wait and see.
I love it.
Coming back strong, Jeffy. Jeffy!
You said, like, it really helps you straight. And I thought you were going to be, like, be straight. I thought that's what you were saying.
If you want to not,
that's kind of fucked up.
Yes, if you want to, you want to stay straight and yes, you can watch wrestling. That's what helps you for that.
On the straight and narrow. If you want to be, if you love Jesus, you should watch wrestling.
If you're a Christian, you will watch wrestling.
If you'd like to go to heaven, you'll watch wrestling.
1000%. If you don't like babies dying, you will watch wrestling.
Exactly.
You're supposed to keep going.
If you don't want to kill retarded kids, you should watch wrestling.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Yeah!
That shit went far. God damn.
But
fuck, Jeff.
We're on a roll.
Were we?
Let's keep going.
I think we fell off the roll. I think we rolled off the fucking counter right there. God damn.
You know how excited Dave is? You know Dave's got a worse one now.
All right, Dave,
I got one too.
Oh, shit. Dave?
Because mine's really bad.
All right. So. Look, I think we should... Dan, Dave, do you guys want to stick around and do some news with Jeffy before we get out of here?
Fuck yeah.
Dan, how about you? You in?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm chilling.
All right, here we go. Let's get in here and do a little bit of news with Jeffy.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
That might be a little aggressive. Maybe we should change that, Jeffy. What do you think?
You know, it is a little aggressive, but it's like it's in your face, and it's right now. It's the news today.
That's right. It's the news right now. Jeffy, give it to him.
Okay. Well, first, what came to my attention was that there's a new breakthrough improvisation. They improved pasteurization.
Ooh. How do you improve pasteurization? You heat it or you're cool?
Yeah, now your milk, I don't know. It's a heat-free technique. It eliminates more pathogens in pasteurization. It leaves the milk with a refrigerated shelf life of up to 90 days.
What the fuck?
What the shit? That's not natural.
Mm-mm.
Dude.
I don't want 90-day-old milk.
If it's good, why not? They make milk that can stay on the shelf now. You know that, right? Like every other country in the world, you don't have cold milk. You just get that shit. It's like in a bag.
Oh, yeah, the weird
just
fucking...
hanging on the shelf.
Forever, man.
Box. I know they've had it forever in Detroit, but the rest of the world is a country. So, you know.
Oh, shit. Points for Jeff.
Okay, terrific.
Oh, that was awesome. That made me happy.
The rest of the world getting
there you go. Holy shit. Yeah, milk that's stable for that long. I don't know. Dan, are you drinking some of that? I bet we get drunk off of it.
I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I'm probably going to feel really dirty doing it. I'm going to kind of feel like...
What? What are you doing with it? It's just milk. Drink
it. I mean, it dribbles down my chin a little bit. You know, it might dribble down my chest. I don't know. It happens.
Gets caught in the beard.
You know?
It's all an abs commercial with this guy. I swear to God.
If you put some damn clothes on, you wouldn't be dribbling down your chest. That's all I'm saying.
You're like Madonna.
You are. Fucking Madonna, motherfucker. Put some shirts on.
Fucking milk in a bag. It's bound to spill.
Vogue.
Yeah, I'm gonna say thumbs down on 90 day milk. Dave, what about you?
I'm not drinking that. I don't even really drink like 12 day milk, so 90 day milk is just not for me.
90 day milk is out the game, man. Jeffy, it's
you guys
out.
Are both high. Have you never gotten bad milk in your coffee?
That's besides
so
the point.
Upset.
All right.
I've been so upset because you came home and you've been away for a while and you made that coffee in the morning. You're hungover and you grab the milk without thinking. You pour it in and then you're driving down the road and you get a mouthful of sour shit. You ever get that?
No, because if you had coffee.
Oh man. I'm getting crickets on that one. All right, whatever. You guys are crazy. 90 day old milk is where it's at. You should see the picture of the guy who made me so happy.
Do you remember Alienation? Like, remember that movie?
It was a movie.
Alienation, where the aliens came down and ended up living with us, and there's about a cop who was like, I can't remember the actor's name, and then like he has an alien cop partner, and they go to the bar, and the only thing that gets the aliens drunk is fucking old milk. Do you remember?
Oh, God, I kind of do remember
that. Oh, they're the guys with the spotted heads, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I told them they're hot. The spotted ladies.
Yeah, yeah, but they're like we don't have vaginas. Remember?
Kinda. They had like belly buttons that would take it in.
Yeah, like you got to stick it in my armpit or some weird place like that.
It's that hot. Works. I'm tall.
Jesus, Dave.
Get it.
Some headlock. Sort of alien porno.
Like it's a Alien Nation. Check it out. It's headlock. Dope. All right, let's go, Jeffy.
The news that matters to you. It's the news. With Jeffy, go fuck yourself.
It really is all aggressive. Right. I mean, that could scare people away. That's all I'm thinking.
All right, well, apparently there's a crazy new thing going around where kids are running up to each other and they're yelling things like Bangkok and then punching each other in the balls. This craze has cost a 12-year-old boy at least one of his testicles.
What?
Yes.
So a kid lost his testicle from being punched by the bro. Listen, we all had those games as a kid. Me and my friend Demidos, we had a game where we would always go to 7-Eleven and we'd sneak buying a pack of Zingers. Remember Zingers? And we put them in our pocket.
Yeah, you get the raspberry ones?
Yeah, the raspberry joints with the fucking coconut on top. Remember them?
Hell yeah.
It's delicious.
But we didn't eat them. We'd be out hanging out that night, and we would buy the pack of Zingers without the other one knowing, and then in the middle of hanging out that night, you would throw the Zingers as hard as you could at the other person's balls.
That's wasteful.
But it was hysterical.
Oh, man.
That upsets me. I would rather just eat the Zingers and not get hit in the nuts.
But it's pretty funny to have a fucking tasty cake thrown at your balls.
That is true.
A tasty cake thrown at your balls doesn't seem like it would hurt as bad as someone punching you in the balls unprovoked. You're just standing there, right? Well, I just walk up and I go, Bangkok! And I just pound you in the dick.
You better fucking run because I'm coming after you.
No, but Dan.
Can you run after me? This poor boy.
He'll be on the subway, Dan, before you get up.
Yeah, it might be a minute if I come full force down on the dick, just like.
Wait,
like beanbag it. Like,
I gotta isolate.
Like a speed bag.
I gotta isolate that for a sound bit. That's pretty awesome. What are you doing, Jeff? You're coming full force. What? Down where?
Listen, I'm just saying.
That's gonna be a sound.
Listen to what this mother said. These are the transcripts of the woman's call.
Oh.
Within 20 minutes, my son was laid on a bed, sobbing his heart out, getting ready to be wheeled down to the hospital. They could not give him the right anesthesia. There wasn't enough time for numbing cream. My son was crying and screaming and begging for help. It was a nightmare.
Jesus.
It was so heartbreaking. I had to sign a form that said I approved that both testicles to be removed if needed.
Oh my God.
I had to sign my son's manhood away.
Oh, Jesus. Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know. But Bailey's testicles had to be nipped and tucked with four stitches each testicle, and he can't do any sort of strenuous activity for 6 weeks.
Wow. First of all, why'd you name your boy kid Bailey?
Bailey's and Cream.
I know a dog named Bailey. I don't think Dan. Let's go. Dan is our resident expert on male names. Dan Bailey for a boy's name.
Terrible. It's a terrible name in general. You fuck who? I'm sorry, anyone named Bailey, but
guys, there's a whole island of Irish people that love that name, and you guys are being very racist against our white brethren.
Isn't it a girl name?
Yeah, because I dated a chick. Her name was Bailey. She was a horrible person.
Whatever. So. I dated a girl named Dave.
What?
A girl named Dave.
What? No, maybe not. I don't know. I was reaching.
I don't know. What was your name? Dave? Wow. Listen, I don't think anybody should be punching anybody in the balls. Like, listen, all of my friends, like, you guys know, you can feel safe around me. I promise you, Dan, Dave, Jeffy, Robbie, if you're listening, I will never punch you in the balls.
Thank you.
That means a lot.
I
never understood that game where people punch each other in the balls or slap their balls or some shit. Like, yo, you touch.
I will say this.
Junk, I'm knocking you out.
Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, I like a ball high five.
I was just going to say, what if it's a playful ball slap? Like, what if I walked up to you and I was like, tap, tappy, what's up, buddy?
No, thank you.
What if we win the Super Bowl together? What if we were just incredible and we win the 8-man tag team championship? I might expect, you know, a little, instead of a chest bump, you know, like a chest bump, I might want like a ball high five bump. Would that be okay?
A hip thrust.
Yeah. A jumping hip thrust.
Hip thrust with a testicle tap.
What's tapping?
All four testicles?
That's Jeffy's finishing move, by the way, right there. The jumping testicle tap.
Well, I have three testicles. I call it the potato sack.
Oh, well.
Are you talking about like ears?
Holy shit. What'd you say, Dave?
Hair scissoring? Is that like what you're talking about?
No, that's impossible.
No,
you got to like kind of jump and hump into the air at each other's pelvises.
Right.
It's like a pelvic bump.
We're going to jump. We're going to jump. We're not going to chest bump. We're going to thrust our pelvises at the same time to where our balls then smack together.
Yep.
It's a ball high five.
Man, it sounds like it's going to hurt.
I have a potato sack. I don't even have balls anymore. It's that's that big.
Yeah. Well, listen. Being good. Nobody said being good brothers wasn't painful. Right, Jeff?
Fidelia, a couple of bumpy Vidalia onions.
Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
Now, I do want to say something about, like, this kid. He lost both of his nuts.
No, he didn't lose any of his nuts. He had to get them tucked, though. He had to get them, like...
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know exactly. I'm not a doctor. I just know that... Okay.
Well, like, here's the thing. Like, I've played this game when I was younger, and I didn't have to have any surgery. I actually gained a testicle. So this next generation coming up, I'm worried about.
That's a tumor.
Oh shit!
Yeah, yeah, that's a tumor. You should get that looked at.
I should go see a doctor.
Ball punching, Dan. I'm saying thumbs down. What are you saying to ball punching?
No, two thumbs down.
Two thumbs down. Dave, are we ball punching?
Nah, I'll bite your fucking nose off if you hit me in the dick.
Why do you gotta get aggressive? I just opened the conversation with saying that I promise you I'll never punch you in the balls.
Well, I'm just laying my boundaries out there.
All right. Well, I got you. All right, Jeffy.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
All right, Jeffy, what else you got there in the news? We got one more story for us?
I got two more.
Okay, two more.
Breaking stories.
Breaking.
This one just in.
Wow.
Very disconcerting. I don't know if you remember the movie Orphan.
It was crazy.
Back 2009, about how a little girl tries to murder her family, and then you find out she wasn't a little girl at all. She's like 30. Well,
no,
these two people in Lafayette, Indiana, they adopted a 3-foot-tall girl with walking problems who they were told was a 9-year-old girl. She was actually 22.
Oh, my God.
And they are being charged with abandoning her.
What?
But they're like, we didn't abandon her. We're running away from her. We're, like, scared for our lives. And it says, like,
22.
She would do things like she would stand over people in the middle of the night. You couldn't go to sleep. We had to hide all sharp objects.
What?
I saw her putting chemicals, bleach, Windex, or something like that in my coffee. When I asked her what she was doing, she said, I'm trying to poison you. The media is painting me to be a child abuser, but there is no child here.
Holy fuck.
Nadia, yeah, she was a woman. She had periods. She had adult teeth. She never grew a single inch, which would happen even if the child did have dwarfism. The doctors all confirmed she was suffering from a severe psychiatric illness.
You think?
Only diagnosed in adults. Oh, my God.
Hey, Dave.
She was jumping out of moving cars. She smeared blood on mirrors. She would do things you go, what the fuck? Could you imagine bringing home a little girl? Thinking,
Dave, we found your girlfriend you lost in Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, here she is.
Jesus Christ. Jeffy, where did you find this story? This is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard. This is a fucking movie.
This story is been around for a minute, but it just kind of resurfaced. It's very fucked up.
Dan, anything on that?
Yeah, I just think that's crazy. Like, I can't to go that long. But the thing is, how do you explain that to people? And if I think apparently the girl's missing, right? Like, the child is nowhere to be found. Or whatever the child, or the 22-year-old woman, whatever the fuck she is.
I don't know. It's a very confusing story because they're kind of saying, like, nah, she's really a good child. She's just kind of retarded or something.
What state is this in? Do we know?
What was that question?
Does it say what state it's in or what part of the country it was in?
Indiana.
Oh, yeah, Indiana.
Yeah, Lafayette, Indiana. Kind of close to Dave.
Close to Detroit.
Wow.
It's not that close
to
Detroit.
Dave, your people are weird.
It's closer than New York, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's the Midwest still, yeah. But
there you go.
Like,
same water.
Same.
No, same water.
It's not the same water.
You probably all eat the same casserole you call pizza, too.
Same family.
Fucking A.
They have pizza out there? I thought they said casserole.
Well, they have hot dish and casserole. Yeah.
Oh, got you. Right. Hot dish. Yeah.
Yeah, you go to a, you know, little potluck, and they're going to call it a hot dish.
Got you.
I'm going to send this 22-year-old psychopath to your guys' fucking house with Detroit-style pizza.
And I'm dying for a midget. I would, like, any midgets out there, holler at your boy, Jeffy. I just want to be friends. Let's just hang.
Yo, if like, I was a midget, I would totally exploit that. If I was a little person, wherever the fuck
you get high, you probably do half what I do.
This is a terrible story. I think before we get any more commentary on the story, we should move on because this story is a little bit much, I think. I mean, it's just my opinion.
Yo, it's a crazy story.
Yeah, that's out the game.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
All right, Jeffy, final story for the night. What do you got for us, buddy? I know it's a juicy one. I don't know if I could top that one, though.
Yeah, actually, it can. All you people out there that have been scoffing at seltzers to get you high, well, now it's time to get Creative Water Company. This CBD and THC's infused sparkling water is the stoner of seltzer brands, and Jeff fully endorses it.
Hell yeah.
Do you have this water? Have you tasted it? Where can we buy it?
I haven't, but if you're stressed out about White Claw shortages, oh. I got you.
I
a
got
new
you.
Seltzer brand is launched today that not only tastes great, but it'll chill you the fuck out too. The fast-acting, microdosing sparkling water comes in a variety of flavors, but also strengths.
Is this
They've
real?
Got CBD only. Yeah, CBD THC can, which means yes, you can later. You can, what? Yes, the latter.
Oh, come on, commercial read, Jeffy. You were doing good. What happened?
I was doing good. All right, the debut launch is three flavors: berry lemon, cucumber lime, and passion fruit tangerine coconut.
Wow,
yeah, a lot of some of that cucumber lime.
Passion fruit, yeah, coconut over here.
It depends because I want the boom boom. You know what I mean? I don't want that. I want that like. It says 25 grams of plant extract, while the THC variants will have three mood profiles: a lift, balance, or relax. Each of these products are microdosed specific ratios of CBD to THC to provide desired mood levels upon consumption.
So they got a sativa, they got an indica, and then they got a hybrid pretty much.
Yeah, but so it's a CBD and THC. It's a 1-to-1 ratio. So it's like that boom boom. So you can get it in Nevada and California only. Creative Water Companies, aka the Snoop Dogg of seltzer brands.
Wow. Dude, this yeah. Woman, you
come up
got
with that
me
idea,
in.
Though?
Let's go to Nevada.
I wish I came up with that idea.
I thought we did. We're talking about this shit like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Yo, this is totally our idea. They picked that shit.
We
you know
water?
What? It's not who came up with it first.
We're literally sleeping.
Who does it first?
He's got a point.
I got weed sugar that we can use it, and we can totally make simple syrup out of it to put it in stuff.
Ferment
some
shit.
Let's do that shit.
Zero flavor to it. I think it's like 10 or 15 milligrams per teaspoon or something.
Wow.
Let's use like 22 teaspoons per
allegedly.
Bottle.
What?
Allegedly. Let's use 22 teaspoons per bottle.
22. Well, that's a you may have paranoid schizophrenic delusions on some people's. You know, people they do too much THC. Like, you know, we give Plum one of those 10x10 sodas. He's gonna talk to the lamps. We don't want that.
Yo, I'm okay. I don't need none of that. But I'll tell you what I did see recently, Jeffy. It kind of goes along with that. I was in my local wine purveyor's store, our good friend G, who we got to have back on the show here very, very soon.
Big G, shout out.
G is the fucking man. I was in the shop, and over there in the spiked seltzer area, gentlemen, not only is there spiked seltzers, there is now alcoholic water.
Yeah.
It's still
make
water.
Ice cubes out of it.
It's,
you know what that is? It's just flat seltzer, Plum. They didn't really create anything.
Well, no, it's not flavored. It's not flavored.
Oh, okay. So it's just the
alcoholic
the
fucking water. Like,
isn't that called like vodka?
Isn't that called you're boring as fuck? Isn't that called like literally like
that's
you
the
work
worst
out?
Thing I've ever heard.
You work out too much. That's what we call that shit. I'm gonna bring you some.
I hear this alcohol. You could sniff it. That would be crazy.
Powdered alcohol. Powdered buzz.
They have that. You can get that. You can get that powdered alcohol. You put it all over yourself.
Hey, next time we hang out, I'm getting some of that alcoholic water. You just wait. This shit's fucking ridiculous. And Dan and I, by the way, are working on the brand new hard seltzer It's going to be beer-flavored hard seltzer, which should be pretty fun.
Hell yeah. IPA-flavored hard seltzer.
That's right. It's just IPA.
Guys, all you have to do is get a good one and add water to it, right? I mean, isn't that all you have to do?
Mm-mm. You got to get rid of the calories, Chef.
Is it still going to be clear?
Water.
Yeah, well, it could still be clear, yeah.
So this is going to be like the crystal clear Pepsi?
You got it. On point. I've already reached out to him. Already reached out to
him. Now, hey.
I have a centrifuge if you want to make stuff clear, we can do this.
Damn. Does that take the bubbles out too, though?
It'll take everything out, but then we can put the bubbles back in. We got to recarbonate it and make it clear.
Holy shit. We should do that.
We have to make the syrup first. So we have to make like a beer syrup, then spin it to make it clear, and then add the bubbles to it. And then it'll be like a clear beer. Might take out some of the flavor, though, too, because, you know, some of the solids and stuff is some of the flavor, the yeasts and all that stuff in beer.
Mm. We're going to work on it. We're going to work on it. That's what we're going to do. Right? I think so. Listen, I'm going to get us on out of here. Big shout out to Chef Dan. Dan, we're so proud of you, man. You kicked ass at your event, bro. Seriously, fantastic job. I can't wait to see what's coming up next for you, brother. You're killing it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the support. It was awesome. I had you guys behind me, so it was easy.
Dude, I wish I could have been there, but I was there watching on the Instagram. I was on the subway. I was there.
I feel you. Nah, you there. It's cool, yo. It's, you know, everybody doing their thing.
I didn't want to change it, but I called to support you like a brother.
Thank you, sir.
Big Jeffy.
Jeff was like, hey. I was like, hey, Jeff, what's up?
Dave, you didn't do a goddamn thing.
Hell yeah.
Dave finally got a break.
Hey, Dave, really quick before we get out of here, man, your restaurant's closed, right? How was that closing down for the season? That's different for you now, right? That was experience.
It was weird. Like, I turned off the lights in the kitchen. I was like, fuck. But getting ready to go to the season and launch our fall menu. But
there you go.
It was
What do you mean your fall menu? Are you going to be in Manhattan, Dave?
For a little, yeah. I'm gonna rock out for a little bit out there and see where things go.
Nice.
Dave's going to be in the city. Big City Dave, we're going to start calling him. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be great.
We have to do our winter pop-up somewhere, too.
We need to talk a lot about that, gentlemen, because I want to do that badly. You guys, listen, what a fun show tonight, man. Big shout-out, of course. Jeffy, give us plugs for Just Incredible one more time, man, because I really enjoy talking to him tonight.
Absolutely, man. You want to check him out next week. His podcast is going to be – he's going to be back on the I Hate This podcast on iTunes and across all social media platforms. You want to check him out at PJ Polacco, P-J-P-O-L-A-C-O. Awesome guy. Give him a follow.
No, he's trying to get his life. He's getting his life together, man. And we're gonna go do a fucking show with him in January. We're gonna keep contact. We are fucking doing that. Are you guys in?
Yeah, man.
Fuck,
I'm gonna get my ass beat.
Fucking Dave.
I'm breaking somebody's arm.
I'm walking in the ring with a fucking bag full of like 10,000 thumbtacks. I'm like, let's do this.
There you go. Hey, look, next week, Jeffy. We got Vanessa. Go ahead, Jeffy. What?
I don't want to do any of that. It just doesn't sound fun to me. I'm like,
we just told. I just gave the whole match. I gave the whole match to you. Dave and I are gonna fucking take the shine. We're gonna go down. You guys can get the hot tag, and you come in. You clean it up.
You speak fucking English to me, first of all.
Well, just look it up. It's Carney. Just look it up. I'm taking the shine. You'll see. It's good. Just trust me. Just follow me, kid. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Dude, we'll show you the way. All right, just like it's like a floating.
I don't want to get hit with a bag of thumbtacks, though, man.
No, you're not.
Fine.
We're just Dave's taking the thumbtacks.
I'll protect you, Jeff. I got you. Don't worry.
Just follow me. You're gonna shine them up with the hot tag.
Right now, be like, keeping it real goes wrong. You motherfuckers hit me with a bag of thumbtacks.
I'm not gonna hit you with a bag of thumbtacks. You're gonna pour them out in the ring.
What?
Yeah.
Pour them out into the ring, and then you slam people onto them.
Dave, don't scare them. Like, just we'll let them figure it out. Don't worry, it's gonna be
fucking
fine.
Detroit, Jeffy, man.
It's gonna be fine.
For us too.
Dave has
kendo sticks.
Even had Detroit pizza, and he throws it in your face.
Makes you eat it. That's his finishing move. Eat my casserole.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the program here at Plum Love Foods Live. We're going to have a great guest next week. Vanessa Wolkowski from WTNH ABC Channel 8 is going to join us talking all about digital media and social media. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a real live conversation. Big shout out tonight to the one and only Chef Dan Monroe, the one and only Chef Dave, and of course the Chef Jeffy, who's a little paranoid about being in the ring, but we're going to take care of him. Don't worry about that. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you. It's not until next week. We'll see you guys next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. See you next week, guys.
The tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Woo! Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.